Take your Bibles tonight, turn to James chapter 4, verse number 4 tonight, and finishing up where we began last week, and also finishing up the Questioning Questionable Things series, and finishing it up for the year. Can you believe it? There's only one more Wednesday night in 2023 left, and I'm not preaching that one. Pastor Stephen Harvey's going to be preaching that on the 27th. And so I wanted to finish this up for the year. And just looking at the year in retrospect, as we get to the end of the year, I hope we do that. And looking at the theme of this year, be holy for I am holy, holiness. And I hope everything that we do, we reflect on that and we reflect on the holiness that God wants to see in our lives. But this evening, we're going to continuing where we left off. When looking at introduction to apparel last week, and we looked at some scriptures and we looked at some things, and we're going to expand on that a little bit tonight. But can I tell you something? The area of apparel and dress for ladies and for gentlemen is a bit of a broad topic. And so tonight, for the amount of time that I have, I'm going to give a quick overview with the hope that if we don't have this nailed down, that will spur us on to get it nailed down. Amen. I hope that it spurs you on. I wish I could devote two or three messages to this. I don't have the time to do that currently. So we're just going to do an overview tonight. And if you have further questions, I have some great resources that I'm going to mention tonight. But I think we're going to get a good idea of what God expects out of us. And I hope that's our prayer. God, what would you have for me to do? When it comes to salvation, we're very open. God, what do you want me to do in regards to salvation and in every practical area of our life? Lord, what do you want me to do? What is pleasing to you? And as I looked at last week and as we started out, I think if we have that attitude and we have that goal and that aim, it really takes a lot of the friction out of these type of discussions. Just really, hey, what does God say? Then we just do it. Amen. It's that simple. So tonight, we're going to look at the area, and really when it affects dress, one of the areas that can be really affected by worldliness, and not just this area, but every area of our life to be like the world, is this area of dress and of apparel. So that's why we're looking at in the aspect of worldliness tonight. And our usual three questions. Can apparel be considered evil, right? We asked that question a little bit last week. We're not going to ask those three questions as the points tonight, but what I'm going to go over tonight is going to answer those three questions. The second being, what is apparel associated with? We did a little bit of that last week. And then also, number three, most important, am I thoroughly convinced that my apparel is pleasing to God? That is the most important question, because when we get dressed, we're not dressing for ourselves. When we hear the phrase dress for what? Success. I don't know if you ever heard that phrase before, right? When you are going into a job interview, go in dressed appropriately, dressed nicely. Why? You're communicating something about yourself. But ultimately, we do need to dress for success, but we need to dress to please God. And this isn't just ladies, gentlemen too. Gentlemen need to dress to please God. There's a lot of worldly trends out there that are not pleasing to God that we as gentlemen need to stay away from. And I'm going to mention a couple of those tonight. But let's dive in here. James 4:4. We're going to use this verse as a jumping off point because we have to understand, let's not look at the world over here. Let's not look at the world for our fashion advice. Let's not look at the world for our apparel choices. We know that man's a version of apparel we see in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve's apparel, sewing those fig leaves together, trying to cover their nakedness. It didn't work, did it? It was God who set the first dress standard. It was God who provided the first set of clothing as a covering, as a picture of a covering for sin as well. But here it is, what God has covered, the devil wants to uncover. And we see that very plainly throughout Scripture. Whenever you come into pagan worship throughout the ages, and it's still to this day, it always has nakedness associated with it. The uncovering of that which is to be covered. And so tonight, let's look at James 4:4. If we could stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God as you're physically able. It begins, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Let's add on verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word, that you'd open our hearts, dear Lord, to your word. It is so instructive and such a source of wisdom, Lord, and it's such an encouragement to us, Lord. I pray tonight we'd be instructed, that our hearts would be open to it, Lord, and that it would just be clear can be. And I'm so thankful your word is clear. So thankful that we have a version of the Bible that is clear, and it's not mincing words, Lord, but that you are clear and direct. Pray that you would help me to be so tonight and give me clarity of thought. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, so we're going to look at two areas tonight. And the two perspectives, if you will, we looked at those last night, the dealing with modesty and distinction. We're going to deal with modesty first. So number one tonight, we're going to look at modesty. Modesty, what does it mean to be modest? We touched on these verses for a moment, especially 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, if you turn over there. But we're going to dissect this verse a little bit and look at modesty, okay? And this is the idea that we should be known for our heart and our actions and not known for our flashiness, not known for our flamboyancy, okay? That's the idea we have here, and this will help us build a definition. It's very important that when you're dealing with things that you have the proper definition. The world has its definition of things, but God has his definition, and God's very clear about his definitions. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10 say this, and we looked at this last week, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Okay, so this is the idea here of modesty. Well, what is the definition of modesty? You want to write one down. Here's a good one. Properly be restrained by a sense of propriety. What is appropriate and what is not appropriate? Can I say something here that the definition of what is appropriate and what is not has been vastly skewed in our culture today? What is appropriate? What is proper? Propriety. Okay, it used to be we taught our children manners, right? And taught them how to be proper at the table, be appropriate in opening the door for women. Now, whether they call out, say, well, that's just, you know, chauvinistic to open a door for a woman. A woman can open her own door, right? You know, feminism, right? I can open my own door. I don't need a man to open a door for me. Well, that's great. I know a woman is perfectly capable of opening a door for herself, but the purpose of that is to show honor and to show propriety towards a woman, to treat a woman with respect. They think it's disrespectful to show a woman respect, and that's how upside down our culture is today, calling good evil and evil good. That's the culture we live in today. So don't look at that and say, well, our world doesn't want that, so therefore we can throw propriety out the window. No, we need to be appropriate in spite of what the culture says. And propriety comes from the Word of God. Here's another part of that definition. Not forward or bold. So because it's restrained by a sense of propriety, hence, not forward or bold. Not presumptuous or arrogant, not boastful. That's what modest means. And the idea of a modest person is someone who is modest. They don't puff up themselves. But we're talking about modest apparel. We're talking about apparel that is not flamboyant, that does not draw attention to oneself. Because either your apparel can communicate your sobriety towards God and your fellow man and to be the proper covering that God intended, or something to draw attention to me. You know, as my mom would say, ring-a-ding-ding, you know, here I am, right? That's what she would always just say when she describes someone like that. You know, everything we wear, whether it be our clothing, whether it be our adornments, and how we present ourselves, even our mannerisms, even how we talk, how we act, how we walk, all of that can communicate either, what does it say, sobriety, or it can communicate flamboyance. And What should our definition be? Let's look at some words here in 1 Timothy 9. It said, with shamefacedness. So what does that mean? It's a word we don't use very often in our current English language today. It's a good word, though. It doesn't mean, we're in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. Shamefacedness here. It doesn't mean to sit and hang your head in shame, as you would hear some people give that definition of. It's not what it means at all. What a shamefacedness means to have the idea that you want to stay away from that line. You want to stay away from shame. You don't want to ever be ashamed in how you present yourself. So in was that face, what people see, is that I want to stay away. I don't want anyone to ever take me that way, in an immodest way. That's what that word means. I want to have restraint, and I want to stay as far away from that line. I don't want people to get the wrong idea about me. Amen. What a great attitude to have. That people not get the wrong idea about us, but that we would have the attitude of we're representing Christ. Another word here is a great word. Sobriety means temperance, under control, serious thinking, a lack of flamboyance. Hey, I'm the life of the party. That's not sobriety. Serious thinking, not flippant, not just, oh, whatever, que sera, sera, whatever. No, sobriety has that idea of serious thinking. Now, we look at this, and maybe some images pop in your mind, a woman sitting there, wearing gray flannel, no makeup, no jewelry, nothing, just that's shamefacedness. No, that's not what it's talking about. We see throughout the Bible, there's examples of ladies who were beautiful. We see in Genesis 12, verses 14 and 15, we see Rebecca was very fair. 1 Samuel 25, 3, Abigail was of a beautiful countenance. We see all through the Bible. So women are beautiful, amen, and ought to be. And by the way, only should have eyes for one woman, your wife, amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth there that gentlemen need to remember. And let's understand something. The cultural of our day, that a lot of the dress for ladies is to draw the eyes of men to themselves. That is immodest. And that's the opposite of the definition. And what I love, and I'm not going to go further into this, but can I say that certain types of women's apparel, whether it be the short shorts or the short dresses or things that are immodest that reveal body parts that ought not be revealed or draw attention to parts of your body that ought not be drawn attention to. Now, I'm not going to get up here. I'm just saying, as a man, I'm not going to do that. There are other resources for you. Mrs. Starr's book, Just a Matter of the Heart, she gets very plain. I've read parts of her book, and she gets pretty plain in there, not in an inappropriate way, but just what the purpose of wearing pants is. And it is to draw attention to parts of your body that should not be drawn attention to. And that's the whole purpose of it. And that is by the creators of it, and all kinds of research and articles in there. Great, great thoughts in there. I don't need to go into all of that. You can get that resource right on in the bookstore out there. So I encourage you ladies, read that. If you are up in the air about that at all or have questions about it, answers all, lays it completely to rest. Wonderful, wonderful. In the section on modesty, a wonderful section there. But let's look at this. But what is the purpose of what is modest? Well, it has to, as we looked at last week, cover nakedness. We see in Genesis, nakedness was discovered because of sin. Clothing wasn't needed before the fall because God didn't create us with clothing on, right? But we need clothing because of sin. It is a covering for sin. Look at Isaiah 47, if you could. And this right here we see is an analogy of Israel, but what God is describing here is what he considers nakedness and what he considers a shame. A shame. It's important to understand what God considers a shame so that we may be shamefaced and stay away from it. Amen. It's not just for the ladies, but for the gentlemen as well, that we stay away from things that are a shame. I'm sorry, it's not modest, guys, to go to the beach in your Speedo, okay? It's not modest. But why is that? Well, here we see in Isaiah 47, verses 1 through 3. First off, I don't know why you would want to. But anyway, here it is. Verse number 1, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. And what's going on here? What does God consider nakedness? The uncovering of the thigh. Also, we have the idea said, uncover thy locks. What is that talking about? Is dressing in a seductive manner, but especially the leg uncovered the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. We looked at this, that God had given the priest the command to wear those breeches so that when they were in the performance of their duties, that they would their nakedness, their thighs, would not be seen as they were dealing with sacrifices and doing their work of the temple. That's what God considers nakedness. And also we have to understand is that any dress that uncovers the thigh, it's associated with harlotry. All throughout the Bible and also just in society in general, you don't see prostitutes wearing anything that's modest, right? That's just not, the two don't go together. We see that even, gentlemen, let's talk about the gentleman for a minute. Many times women are the only one talked about in these discussions. Was what you wear into the gym modest? Or are you out there, you're wearing that tight shirt so the ladies can see your muscles as you lift your dumbbells there or do your bench presses or things? Well, I'm just comfortable in this. I don't want it to get caught in the weights or something, and things like that. There's all kinds of reasons to wear, your tight shorts here and, when you're doing this and their shorts are riding way up your knee. I'm sorry if it's above your knee. It's nakedness, guys. It is. Amen. All right, Brother Hammonds is with me. All right, very good. So when you go out and accentuate parts of your body, your muscles and things like that, anything that would, are we supposed to sit there and advertise our body? No, I'm sorry, gentlemen, your body's for your wife. And ladies, your body is for your husband, that's all. The marriage bed is undefiled, but that's it. No more. And so that's what modesty is. Don't draw attention to yourself, guys and ladies, but instead have that idea of that sobriety. And here is something that we need to see today. Let's look over the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Older ladies that have this figured out, that you have been taught modesty and you have gone down the path of modesty, gone down the path of living a modest lifestyle in your demeanor and in your dress. By the way, that's why your dress is a reflection of your heart, because where our heart is at is how we're going to dress. Those guys that have their muscle shirts on and out there, guess what? They're proud of that because they worked hard to get those muscles, man. They worked hard and they want the ladies to see and go, ooh and ah. Guess what? That's all about who? Me. It's pride. And ladies, if you want to dress in a way, even if it is physically modest, okay, it is covering everything appropriately, but its colors is flashy and the hairdo and, like I said, the broided hair and the jewelry. Is there anything wrong with doing your hair, ladies? No, please do. Amen. Nothing wrong with wearing modest jewelry. Nothing wrong with wearing a little bit of makeup, okay? But we've all met people that have gone overboard on that. They walk in, you're like, wow, okay, they put too much paint on the barn, okay, just, whoa, okay, that's a little too much. Then we're getting into things like different colored eyeliners and different things like that to accentuate your eyes. But then we get in the Bible of painting your face like a harlot, okay, we get into those type of things. I'm not going to get into all those nuanced things here, but I think we have to ask the question, simple question here, does this bring glory to God or does it draw attention to me? If it's drawing attention to me instead of being an adorning, then we have to be asking ourselves some very serious questions. If we're asking that question, then God is going to lead us in the right path. Remember, holiness is always more, when we submit ourselves to God and we're walking in the Spirit and we're asking God those questions, remember, God's dress standards are much higher than ours and our ideas. We have to remember that. Because these people that say, well, I just opened my heart up to God and I prayed about it, and then they shed all of their holy, the standards that present holiness and modesty, they shed them all and said, that was a shackle that got me closer to God. I'm sorry, that's not God. As something that takes you a step away from God, instead of stepping to Him, I'm sorry, that's not the Lord, but they believe because it's their feelings. Really what it was is what they desired in their heart, they allowed to happen, allowed to come out. That's why dress really is a matter of the heart. And your dress ought to reflect that. But Titus 2, verses 3 and 4 are very good verses here. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, okay? Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Here it is, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Here it is. Ladies, you need to be passing this on. Amen. In churches, what's having to happen is that a lot of preachers are having to get up and preach on this, but the ladies aren't willing to mentor other ladies in this. Because at the end of the day, I don't know how women dress, and I'm glad I don't, because I'm a man. Amen. So these technical things that we're talking about and these different things of how to put this into practical practice, I'm giving you some general guidelines here, but how to practically do this. You ladies that know have this figured out, you need to help others do this. Amen. The aged women, you have with some wisdom, you need to come alongside and help the younger ladies. Not only in that, teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. To teach them, bring them along, not only in that area, but many other areas. We need to see that happen. We have a very great disdain in our culture for the older generation, unfortunately. That's foolishness. The older generation that have gone on before, the Bible elevates them and that they've lived through some things, done some things, made some mistakes, had some victories. I hope we're there to learn from that. Amen. Hopefully we learn from that. But here it is. Remember this, though. Beauty is not a bad thing. Beauty is not a bad thing on the ladies. Beauty is not a good thing for the gentlemen, okay? Handsome. Right? And with our boys, you know, they're like, Mommy, you're beautiful. And they turn to their brother, you're beautiful. I'm like, oh, nope, Todd, not beautiful. Handsome is okay. All right, handsome's fine. Beautiful is not. Beauty is for women, right? Beauty is not for gentlemen. Amen? You agree on that? Okay. Handsome is a different term. Okay, yes, I understand in olden days, a handsome woman and things like that. But anyway, so here's the second part, distinction. The way down modesty, the second part is distinction. Here it is. Modesty is a very strong part of this, but also here it is, a distinction is another part of this. There's a twofold part here. Distinction, Deuteronomy 22:5, we already went over that last week, is the only reason for this is simply to maintain the distinction between the sexes. It's to a distinction of not cross-dressing. And as we looked at it before, is that men are not to wear that pertains to a woman. It's like, absolutely not. We're against drag shows. We're against those things. That we are against women, guys who are transvestites that run around in women's clothing. They're sickos and sick in the head. We don't want any part of that, right? And also the verse also says that the ladies not wear that which pertains to a man. Look at the history of breeches going all the way back through. It was a man's apparel and had been for hundreds of years up until about 150 years ago. A lot of that happened during World War II. Once again, read Mrs. Starr's book. She has all the history very clearly given. I'm not going to give all that here. But there is a distinction here also in the words used in apparel. We just saw in 1 Timothy in that the Greek there has the idea of a long flowing robe as modesty. But here it is. Look at Romans 1, verses 25 through 28. What do we see coming to fruition? What Paul wrote to the Romans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. A message to remember the Roman society was that of anything goes, whatever satisfied the flesh. And here it is in Romans 1, verse 25. And verses that we use very often in regards to dealing with
sodomy and things, who changed the truth of God into a lie, verse 25, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And here we go. There is a very clear agenda of the devil that he wants to erase gender. He wants to erase that. There's the full-blown movement going on in our society today. Who would have thought 30 years ago that this would be going on? You know, that they have all the pronouns and things like that. I was talking to my brother, and I noticed that he had started a new business and everything. And so what had gone? So what's going on? He said, well, I had to leave my job because they wanted me to sign a statement that I was gender affirming and I didn't care what pronouns people use because I had an executive position at the company. And I said, I won't do it. And they said, well, you're losing your job. He goes, that's fine. Because I'm not going to sign it. I'm not going to do it. And just crazy, it's coming to every area of society. Hopefully, if you ever presented with that you're gender-affirming and you agree with calling people by their preferred pronouns, I'm sorry. The Bible says to speak truth with thy neighbor. If a man comes up to you and say, please call me she or her, I'm not going to do it. Amen. I hope that's a settled thing here. Amen. Because if you believe that you should be calling, well, then you're just lying to them. You're affirming a delusion, a wicked one at that. And if a woman says, I want you to call me a dude, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. Right? But here it is. Want to erase gender and try and fit two women or two men into husband and wife roles and things, just sick things that go on today. That's the devil's plan. That's what's being spoken of here in Romans 1. And that's what God wanted to protect against with Deuteronomy 22:5. Wanted to protect against that. That there is a distinction between the genders. Men are men, right? And women are women, okay? And so there was a saying growing up, kind of where we're from, you know, because up in the north we were tough. It said, where the men are men and the women are too. We say that kind of jokingly because there's the women out there chopping wood and doing things like that. But now we wouldn't say that today because that's not what people mean, is it? That's what they mean. Like, oh yeah, a woman can be a man, you know, and man can do things that women can't. It's just crazy things. Craziness. And that's the devil's plan. And now the preachers that preached this 30 and 40 years ago aren't so crazy, are they? Oh, they got called because they were preaching against this, that this is what the plan was. This is what was going to happen. Oh, these people, they're crazy. This will never happen. Here it is. That's why they're called prophets. Amen. To prophesy the foretelling of God's word and the end result. God gives us the end result of disregarding his word. There was a distinction to dress in Bible times. Like, well, this doesn't apply because in Bible times they all wore the same thing. They all wore robes. Well, I'm sorry. There was a distinctive ladies' robe and there was a robe for gentlemen. And here's the big difference. Women's robes were many times longer and more ornate. Gentlemen, they had a robe, but they had a girdle. Okay, when they say, gird up your loins, okay, what they would do, and we see that in 1 Samuel 25:13 and Job 38:3 and Job 40:7. You can see those references there for sake of time. We're not going to turn there. But that to gird up your loins as a what? Man in Job. What would they do? They would take their robe and they would lift it up and they would tuck it because they had an outer tunic and an inner tunic, the outer robe and inner tunic, and they would take their outer robe so that it wouldn't get tangled in their legs when they ran, and they would tuck it into their girdle, and they would pull out their sword, or they would pull out their work tools so it wouldn't get in the way of their working. But it was as a man. A woman wouldn't do that. They didn't have that girdle. They didn't have that particular way of dressing. Very distinctive. So here it is. Is there a distinction in the Bible that it's God want that distinction between men and ladies? Absolutely. And just because women's pants have a button on a different side and they have a different cut to them doesn't make them any different than men's pants. They look the same. Just because, like, well, the zipper's on the different side, the buttons are on the different side, it's different. Okay, then you're grasping at straws a little bit. It looks the same. Or should we look the same as men? No. Ladies shouldn't. You shouldn't want to. I don't want to look like a woman. I mean, if someone came up to me, you look like a woman, man, I'd be offended. Like, well, why do I look like? Well, your hair's too long for one thing, you know. Ever met some of those guys that you walk up from behind like, wow, man, what does she do to her hair? And turn around, whoa! Okay, man, dude, cut your hair. You know, turn around, they have a beard. You know, I was like, man, you must use Pantene Pro-V or something on that hair. I mean, that was just shiny, you know. But sorry, but that's, you kind of chuckle about that. But man, I don't want anyone to say that about my hair. That's why the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. It should be something furthest from your mind that you look like a woman in your hair. Amen. I don't think anybody here, any gentleman here, you want to look like a woman or say you're a woman because of your long hair. And the same thing, I think it would be offensive for the ladies here that if you shorten your head and you had a haircut like a man, hey, you look like a dude. I hope that would be offensive to you. I hope so. Amen. Yeah, well, that's not what I'm trying to look like. I'm trying to look like a woman. Even though culture has all those other things, what still is the most identifiable thing all around the world, on restrooms all over the world, the ladies have a what? Dress, and the gentlemen have, know what they are, right? Now, of course, you have the ones that have both on there and that whole thing, and just, everyone just wants to just rip those off of there. Anyway, by the way, ladies, don't go into those restrooms because there's going to be probably a man in there with you, dressing as a woman. So when you see that, beware. So here it is. The third thing that we have to understand is this. All of these things, distinction, and we can get into great debates about this. And there's a lot of great debates. Man, if you want to see the war in Christendom, go look these up on the forums. Man, it's a battle waging. And can I tell you something? It's really a battle that doesn't need to be waged because it's a very simple answer to it all. Is what we're doing based in the Word of God, or is it based in the worldly trends? If you look at the runway, I hope you don't, but if you look at the fashion runway in Paris or New York City, are those things screaming, oh, this is bringing glory to God? Or is it, oh, look at me. Look at how chic I can be, how immodest I can be, how flamboyant can I be? And that's the allurement of worldliness, because it feeds the flesh. It feeds I feel comfortable. I feel empowered. I feel this. I feel that. I feel strong. I feel beautiful. I feel handsome, whatever the case may be. There's an allurement to that. But what should our heart be? Here it is. Our heart should be, Lord, I love you. I want to do everything I can to please you. And the third, if there's anything that is displeasing, I'm going to change it. That's the heart that we need to have. And not just in this area, but every area. I love you, Lord. I want to please you. Lord, show me if there's something that's displeasing to you. I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it. That brings us to the test of 1 John chapter 2. Let's turn over there. 1 John 2, and then we'll be done tonight. As Brother Armacost said, in conclusion, first, I just have to start using that. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. But wasn't that encouraging, Brother Armacost, about how his dad got saved? Isn't that encouraging? Amen. I was encouraged by that. I said, wow, we're on the right track here. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Very simple command, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, here's very simple. The love of the Father is not in him. So if you're living for things, you're living for praise, you're living for the things that are in this life. Remember, our life is not about what's here. It's about the eternal things. If your whole life is wrapped up in what's right here, right now, then you're in love with it, and that's all you live for. I'm sorry, then the love of the Father isn't in you. And that's a lot of people. That's a lot of Christians, unfortunately. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Remember, not all that glitters is gold. There's a lot of glittery, shiny things in this world today. A lot of shining and glittering men and women that will attract our gaze, that will attract our affections, that will attract. By the way, if you're waiting for the right mate to come along, guess what? The devil will always send by a glittery lure. Oh, That's what I've been waiting for. I'm sorry if it glitters, okay? If you have gentlemen, if there's a young lady that comes in here and starts coming to church and her dresses are a little too short and things are a little too tight and she just tells you how wonderful you are and bats her eyelashes at you, run away. Run. Now, at the same time, let's temper that with, oh, well, she doesn't dress right, then we must anathema. How dare she do that? No, maybe she was never taught. Temper that with some compassion. Amen. But just because it glitters doesn't mean it's gold. All right? You know, young ladies, you got the gentleman that comes in, you know, handsome. He's got the swept back hair. You know, he's got the, whew, you know, he's got the GQ hair. You know, he's got the cool tie. I mean, he's got that jacket just perfect. I mean, any tighter and the button would fly off, right? And but it looks, he's trim. I mean, he's chic. He drives a nice Camaro, you know. And, you know, vroom, vroom, when he comes in, like, man, he's got it figured out. He's got the nice job. He's got the nice digital latest Apple Watch, right? He whips out his new iPhone 15 Pro Titanium, you know, takes a selfie, you know. Oh, man, this guy's got it made, right? Oh, and he's like, oh, check out my Instagram. You know, and you see, oh, he's been to all these places, right? He's gone to the Grand Canyon. He goes skydives. Oh, swoon. But he doesn't talk one thing about the things of God. Oh, yeah, I go to church. You know, I've been in a lot of churches. But flag number one. You know, when you hear someone come, oh, yeah, I've been to a lot of churches. Okay, that probably means you're not going to be in this one very long. But here it is. What are they advertising? Oh, look at me instead of look at my God. Look at my Christ. I want to be seen for what's inside of me, not by how I look. Now, I should look nice. I should look the part. Amen. I understand that. But at the same time, I don't want people to see, man, preacher, oh, he just got the fashion sense, you know? You know, he just always looks great. Every hair is in place. I know that is not me, okay? So I try, but, you know, I'm still just a guy from the mountains, okay? So I still like my flannel shirts. I never thought, I always hated my dad's flannel shirts. Now I wear them, okay? Like, oh, Dad, why do you always wear them? They're comfortable. They are. You know, I enjoy wearing them the 2 months out of the year I can here in Texas, right? You know? And up north, we wear them all from October to May. But here, we get to wear them December, January, maybe a little bit of February. That's it. So I enjoy it while I can. So, but, you know, hey, you know, it's just fashion sense. No, I said, you know what? I'm preacher. You know, maybe he didn't always have his shoes shined, and maybe he didn't have his pants pressed all the way the right way or his shirt pressed the right way. And sometimes his tie doesn't match, but he sure preached the Word of God. And I grew and I learned. That's what I remember. By the way, I don't want to be known. If all I'm known for is how I dressed, when it gets to the end of 30 years of ministry, I did something wrong. If all you're known for is how flashy you dress or how put together you are, but you're not known for your spiritual walk with God, you're doing something wrong. You should be known for your walk with God. Now, should how we act and how we dress go along with our walk with God? Absolutely, yes. However, if it's all we're known for, then we've missed the boat. But why should we not love the world? Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But why shouldn't we love the world? It's like, well, what's wrong with that? Here it is, verse 7, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Because all that you look for in the world, it'll all go away one day. All the money that you save and put in your 401k, nothing wrong with having a 401k, nothing wrong with saving money, nothing wrong with that. But if you're just doing it just so you can have the biggest one, so that you can have security one day, just remember it can go poof. One day in the stock market and poof, it's gone. One day, you know, It's all a mess. It's all a disaster. One day what if our economy collapses, right? All money that we have in our pockets worth nothing. Because all that's in the world passed away. All the praise and accolades of man, you know, all the trophies you win or whatever trophies you win or whatever accolades, awards that you put on your wall. To be honest, the only one that really cares about it's you. No one else does. And it all passes away. You know, too many times we look at what I used to be or what I used to do or what I... How about we, you know what, someone's in heaven because I witnessed to them. Someone, my children are living for the Lord because I raised them and I didn't let my work life, I didn't let my home life and all of those things keep me from doing what my responsibility was to raise my kids and to be there for my spouse, to be there for my church, to serve the Lord with gladness. That's what it's all about. That's eternal things. So really, when we look at those things, and I really appreciate Brother Joel Haynes, heard him preach earlier in the year. He's coming here, not next year, the year after, for missions conference. He's a missionary to the Navajo Indians, and I asked Brother Armacost, do you know him? He's like, oh, yes, a very unique preacher. But I remember listening to one of his messages, and it was really true, and it really struck me. As you know, he's preaching to young people at camp. He said, you know what? He said, really, instead of getting down to the more important things of preaching, we have to sit here and preach to you about something so simple as what to wear. And so simple as what to do and what not to do on your social media accounts and what entertainment you shouldn't be involved in and what music you shouldn't listen to. That we should be beyond that. Amen? Really, those things are really clear if you just have a heart submitted to God. Those things are really clear. But we have to sit here and we have to debate these things and we have to preach on these things instead of getting to the meatier things of the Word of God. And that's the truth. And that's a debate that's gone on with the young people today. But can I tell you something? It's really simple. It's very easy. And really, it's a, well, either you take it or you don't. And that's up to you. That's between you and God. But there's only one right answer because God's Word only expects one right answer. Submitting to what he says in his will. So tonight, I hope that you've been challenged. Perhaps you have questions. Pray that you ask the Lord to give you wisdom regarding those questions. And we have more resources. I have more information that I don't have time to go into right now. But tonight, I hope that perhaps this reinforces some things in your heart and your mind. Maybe you're asking some questions tonight. Maybe not even in this area of apparel, but just worldliness. Of just, have I let the world into my life, into my heart? I think we need to ask that question often because the world sneaks in. And then we ask that question, am I living for God? Am I living for myself or am I living for God? And if I'm living for God, am I pleasing him in all that I do? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless as we come to our invitation time tonight. We thank you that we can have your word. And Lord, it's just a challenge that we would love you with all of our heart, with all of our being. And that we not have divided affections, one part towards you and one part towards the world. And Lord, we think we can get away from that. But Lord, you tell us clearly in your word, no man can have two masters. For either he will love the one and hate the other. And Lord, I pray that we not be deceived. So, well, I really love you, Lord. But I love this over here too. Oh, we're really not loving you. We're just deceiving ourselves. We're playing games. I pray tonight that we stop playing games and just submit and confess that we're not in love with you as we ought to be. Help us in this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen.